Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this January 17th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. And we're welcoming into the studio in part two at 3:30 today, Lacey Ayling, Events and Engagement Director with our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to this conversation with our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer, joining us. Good afternoon to you, Shane.
Good afternoon, James.
Appreciate you being here. And a big thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, Joe and the gang. We appreciate you guys so much. Do yourself a favor. Go onto YouTube. If you haven't done this already, type in there Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, and keep up to date on the great work that they are doing over there. Shane, how you doing?
I'm good. Cold, but good.
Yeah. Let's start with the cold, if you don't mind, sir. Yeah. Any snow updates? We finally got snow. Our workers out there did an amazing job over the last couple of weeks removing that snow, getting the roads prepared for us. I hit the road pretty early, and the roads were amazing for me almost every morning this past couple of weeks with the snow. How's that been going?
Yeah, our crews did a phenomenal job. We have a bunch of new people out there. We've had staff changeover over the year, and so we have new people operating new equipment. So it was a great practice and good run for those people. And yeah, I commented to the public work street superintendent that they've done an amazing job this year. It's just been phenomenal. The streets have been cleared, and they've been staying on top of it very well.
How are we looking budget wise?
Budget-wise, you know, it's pretty good. I was just talking with Pam, is that the snow plowing budget is kind of unique in being that we have money allocated for labor and cleanup. Well, if they're not plowing snow, they're doing something else. So a lot of times that money in the snow plowing budget will get shifted to other accounts because they're doing other work. Mm. So we still have to pay our guys. And so, yeah. So it's really... it's a placeholder at the end of the day. It may not necessarily be there, but, you know, it's good on equipment and, you know, because it's a lot of wear and tear on plow equipment. And so by not plowing, it kind of saves on that end of it.
And it's always interesting to hear kind of the behind the scenes of some of that stuff and how that works. I also think that clears up any kind of nonsense you might hear out there about budget this or budget that and everything. It really clears that up. That's interesting. I wanted to also mention about tree removal. City Christmas tree pickup will take place from January 22nd to the 26th. Trees will be given to the DNR to use for fish habitats and improving them and a lot of other things. It's nice. I always love the recycling of these items and to be able to make use of them. So just want to remind everybody about that note, that city tree pickup will be January 22nd through the 26th. Keep that in mind, everybody. Shane, I want to talk a little bit about the, now it's been announced that we have the candidates for mayor to take up the position after you here. I want to go ahead and just for those that have not heard, the candidates are Tom Terry Muse, Nicholas Palmquist, I believe, Preston M. Seitz, and Matt Zacher. These are the four candidates that we have. We do know, thanks to Joe and our friends over at the League of Women Voters, that we will be having a tentative, keep that in mind, February 6th debate with them, and they'll take questions and that. So a big shout out to League of Women Voters and the amazing work that they do. We really appreciate all that they do. And, of course, our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media getting that out there so everybody can take that in. Shane, you have endorsed a candidate, so we can cover that.
Okay. Yeah, so I have endorsed Matt Zacher. You know, he's been on city council for, I think, two terms now. He's been chairperson of the finance committee, so he has budget knowledge. He's a local business owner. He's a veteran. He holds a master's degree from UW-Milwaukee in social work. And so, you know, he's been a community member and a family member, he's got family. And I just think that he's probably the right person with the least amount of learning curve to coming into this and the most knowledge about city operations and government. And I think he's poised to lead the organization, you know, financially and, you know, oversight and management of the employees.
I have, I don't know these gentlemen, and I have no ties to them, and I have no bias towards any of them as far as who would make a better candidate or any of those things. But I did think that in our pregame, you brought up a very important note. If you don't mind repeating, sir, not to put you on the spot, but I thought it was a very good note, and I thought it applies to this very, very well. As far as, you may think you understand what this job entails, but it entails a lot more than you might realize as far as being in charge of so much.
Yeah, you know, and I came in with a lot of city experience and city council, but actually sitting in the mayor's chair, there's only four other people alive that really understand what it's like and what comes with that. And, you know, I think, you know, listening to the candidates, you know, there's people out there that really don't understand this, what the role and responsibilities are, which is, you know, I would think running for office that you would want to find that out, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, I've known Preston a long time. He's a great guy. He's a nice guy. You know, I don't know his platform or anything like that or you know, kind of some of that experience. But he's a super guy also. Mm-hmm. But I just think Matt is poised right now to be the best person to make that transition. And you know, you really only have 2 years to try to do something, and then you start all over again. And I think with Matt, he's got the shortest amount of time he's going to have a learning curve. Even though there's a learning curve, it was a learning curve for mm-hmm. me too, even with all my experience. But
I think that's noteworthy.
Yeah, it is. And I think everybody, you know, people watch national politics and, you know, from the president to the governor, and, you know, this is not that role, but it's a similar type of organizational structure. And you know, you get a preconceived idea what that is. And mm-hmm. I still go back and I always say that the power within government lies with, like, at a local level, is our elected council people, the power of the eight, I always say, and it's the power of the eight that control the money. Mm-hmm. And the mayor doesn't get to control the money. The mayor, he or she can only operate within the guidelines set by the council. Mm-hmm. I have an approval rate to spend up to $10,000, which is a lot of money, but when you're talking government, it isn't a lot of money. When you're talking about equipment, a couple yeah. $100,000 and things like that. So really, it's the power of the eight that determine, you know, they're the only ones that pass and control ordinances. They're the ones that pass and control policies, and they're the one that pass and control the budget. And that's really where the power lies within the council, not individually. Individually, they're powerless, but collectively, they have the authority to be able to make those decisions. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people think there's the mayor's role has all this power and gets to do all these things. You know, some of the candidates talk about day one, I'm going to do this change. Well, day one, you don't do any change unless the council allows you to do the change. And there's it's an eye-opening experience.
You're trying to be mayor of Wisconsin Rapids, not king of Wisconsin
exactly.
Rapids. It's a little different, We deal with this at the station from time to time. Mm-hmm. Every couple of months, I have a listener or somebody come to me and say, hey, I saw that you guys are looking for a sports commentator, or looking mm-hmm. somebody to call games. I can do that. I've always wanted to do that. And then like, okay, well, here, talk to Randy. This is what Randy does. He does this, 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 and this. Like, oh, wait a minute. No, I just wanted to show up and talk.
Right.
I just wanted to put the headphones on and just talk about the game. Like, no, it takes a lot more than that. Randy
good
talks to this coach and this person. Yes. And mm-hmm. I do think, and I hope, and maybe it's the last bit of hope that's in me, I really hope that the last couple of years or so on years have taught us a lot as a society and as voters mm-hmm. that experience does matter. Mm-hmm. Experience means something. We kind of got away from this for some reason. All of a sudden, it didn't matter that you had a medical degree and you went to school for all these years and stuff. All of a sudden, no, I'd rather listen to Uncle Joe here and see what he said on Facebook. Like we seem to be getting hopefully a little bit more away from that and getting a little bit more to, you know what, this person having experience, that's a good thing.
It isn't bad, that's for sure. And I think it's, you know, you just understand things better and be like, okay, this is how the process works. And kind of having that idea. And that's why I always think being on city council is a great, good transition to the mayor's chair. Because you even just how to run a meeting, I was sitting there, it's common council last night, thinking about, you know, there's people out there that haven't, you know, they may have watched it in one of the ways you can watch it, but Even the basic rules of running a meeting, you know, there is Robert's Rules of Order, and there is a procedure to running a meeting that it's accepted practice, and you just don't come in and say, oh, I'm going to do it this way because that's the way I feel like doing it today. No, there is a practice to running a meeting, and as simply as that. And coming from city council, you already have that experience mm-hmm. and knowledge, and those are one of the many things that a new person needs to learn. And
I think you brought up a really strong point, too. You get 2 years. You know, you got to hit the ground running.
Right.
You know, if you're spending some of that ground running, learning, mm-hmm. and trying to get the job down, which everybody is going to, of course, no matter what the experience they have. Yeah. So any bit of extra experience you have going into that means that maybe you're a step or two ahead. Maybe you can get on the ground and truly hit the ground running.
Right, because, you know, you know, people complain about, well, it's only two, you know, maybe it should be four, it should be something else. But, you know, the benefit of two is if you're doing a good job, you'll get another one.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not doing a good job, it's easy to get you out. You know, you got 2 years worth of damage versus 4 years worth of damage.
Yes. And,
but yeah, it's as people are going to find out now. They can't, now that we have a primary, you have to run two campaigns. You've got to run a primary campaign to make it to the general election, but you don't want to show all your cards necessarily.
Right.
You know, so you've got to run and give enough information to be able to get through the primary, and then you start a full-on campaign again at the general election, where you kind of maybe drill down more on what your platform and ideas are and those kind of things, and maybe the primary is more on your own history and your own resume and going forward from there. But yeah, it's a lot of work with two campaigns, and given the weather, you know.
Yeah.
You know, trying to put out yard signs out in early February, you know, it's not an easy task.
I didn't even think about that. Oh, that's got to be rough. And seeing our candidates all out there, and just they get to 1 yard, that's about it.
Right.
They're like, okay, I'm beat. Like, this is a lot harder than I thought.
Yeah, and so there you got that expense of yard signs and just the sheer work. And then it's, you know, especially in the wintertime, you have to have people that are willing to help you and maintain the signs because, you know, you have knocked over signs or tipped signs. You know, it doesn't look good. You know, you want to make sure they're upright and legible. And
I like the idea. Why did you fold your candidacy? Those signs, man. Getting them in the ground, I couldn't do it. I was like, I'm done. I'm not even trying for this.
Exactly. You don't want to drill. It's
there's
so many. It's just February is not a good time.
No. We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. As far as the transitioning from the office to you know, being a citizen again and just being in the day-to-day world and all that, for one, I got to tell you, and I'm almost positive Joe noticed this too. You look great, man. Like, since you made this announcement, I feel like I've seen more life in your face. You've just seemed like you've got a little bit more of your personality back, the Shane I first met and stuff. Like, it seems like this is you're adapting well to this.
Yeah, you know, I people that know me that see me regularly, I go to the YMCA almost every day, and so I spend my lunch hour there and talk to people. But then I kind of decided that I spend a lot of time at the YMCA, and I didn't make the progress I was hoping I would make. So I started seeing a dietitian at the hospital, and phenomenal. And so I've changed my eating habits, lost 35 pounds.
Right on.
I only drink water. I gave up soda and juice milk. And so that's a lot to do with how I feel. I feel just night and day difference. And, you know, just making some dietary changes and
just good on you.
Totally changed my...
Did this have anything to do with the decision?
It was all kind of coordinated together.
It just kind of happened.
Yeah, it just happened at the same time. I've always kind of tried to be healthier. And I put on over 40 pounds, sitting in the mayor's chair. I'm used to always being out in the public and doing outside work or with my hands and those kind of things. And, you know, office jobs are never really good for me, or at least, you know, kind of a sedentary job haven't always been very good. So I decided that I needed to shed those extra pounds. And
good on you.
Yeah, so I feel good. And also, you know, it is stressful being, you know, in the mayor's chair. And, you know, I generally and have always cared about the employees and the citizens in Wisconsin Rapids. I'm from here. I grew up here. And you know, like I always say, you know, all of us go into, whether it be an elected position, not to do damage. You know, we all think we want to do the right thing and hopefully make things better than we left it. And that's always a hope. And, you know, history will tell whether or not my 4 years here was worthwhile or not. You know, you just don't know. And so, but yeah, so it's been a good ride, but it's tiring. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I started out and I was a police officer many years, and so you kind of get thick skin. But, you know, after a number of years, it starts to eat at your soul a little bit. And then you start kind of not deflecting anymore. And you start kind of like taking it in. It's like, okay, these handful of people have kind of gotten to me maybe a little bit. And then you're just like, ugh, I don't need to do this anymore.
You know,
it's kind of like, I was good with it. And
I hope that a lot of not only the people out there that voted for you, but the people out there just listening in general to that, take that to heart and start to understand that we can any politician worth their salt wants to be held accountable. If they're good at their job, if they're a good politician, that they want to be held accountable. Yep. And there's a big difference of holding somebody accountable and being a whiny baby and just barking. There's a big, gigantic difference between those two things. And we need to get more back to being adults and, hey, I don't agree with this policy. I'm going to tell you I don't agree with it, like the in the tone that I'm talking in right now, and being a whiny little brat that nobody wants to listen to, and nobody's going to hear you. So your point, whatever it is not even going to be heard. So, you know, what's the point of barking?
I know I saw on Facebook somebody's complaining about something. I don't know if it was retail in town, and they're like, hey, it's time. You can run for mayor if you want, or city council, and here's your opportunity, you know? Yep. I have a lot of respect for people, especially, you know, these four. I may not all agree with them, but they're willing to step forward, put their neck out there, and put their platform and their ideas, and whether or not the community buys into it or not, they at least stepped up and are willing to put their money where their mouth is. And there's so many people out there that are willing to talk and not do anything about it. You know, these four are willing to do something about it. And like I said, I may not vote for everybody, and I have different of opinions, but I'll respect anybody that wants to run for public office just because it is a challenge, and you're willing to put yourself out there. And you look at a lot of people are not willing to do that. And
I agree.
And so you got to respect that.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. I think it's also a key to keep in mind. I was looking into this just over the data that we have over the last couple of years, and we've had a rise of people without political experience running for office, in some cases because, I came from this world and I feel like I can help this world. And then there's also the person looking for their 15 seconds of fame. And I think that it's important to keep that in mind with these candidates. They tell you who they are right away just by the way they answer questions. If they are not answering the question, if they're just giving you, live, talking head points and things like that, or deflecting or any of this stuff, or insulting, a lot of that will tell you right away. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know how to do this job. They just want it for the fame. They just want it for reasons that aren't exactly right or going to help our community.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'll listen. I try to follow some candidate pages and watch and read. And it's, you feel like going, and I don't, but you feel like going out and correcting people because what they're saying a lot of times may not be accurate. And unfortunately, there's people that believe that. And that's where you almost want to. That's where I kind of feel like I almost want to correct people. It's like, no, that's not the case, but you can't do that. And so it's like you just said, James, it's important to understand what these people are saying and take it for a grain of salt and fact check and verify. Mm-hmm. Call City Hall if somebody's speaking about something in the city or, saying, speaking financial numbers or this is going on in the city or, oh, this really bad thing's happening in the city and you need to be able to. Don't take their word for it. Call City Hall and call my office. I'd be more than happy to tell you, or confirm or deny it. And that's easier than, okay, that must be true. And cause they said it on Facebook and now it's true. And I've seen that already in campaigning, and it's unfortunate because there's misinformation already being spread. And so call City Hall.
You show how much you care by doing that homework, by taking those extra steps, and not just that post that you see, but okay, well, that's interesting. That doesn't seem right. I'm going to look into that and see how much truth there is to that. This shouldn't be easy. All right. Now, the actual process of voting should be. It shouldn't be hard to find a voting booth or anything like that.
Correct.
That part should be very easy. But the act of voting itself or making the decision shouldn't be easy. It should be something where, you should have all good candidates. You should have a hard decision to be able to figure out which one you like and which one most aligns with what you want for your community or your country, if you will. Do your homework on these candidates.
And, I'm thankful that, Joe and his team and the League of Women and voters are putting on a forum again this year because we haven't had one since Zach, Patrick, and I ran my first time our primary. Yeah. So it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important because those are an opportunity to see the candidate, look at a candidate, and listen to what they have to say. And I think importantly, you start out with their resume. There's some candidates that are talking about their resume and their history, and there's other candidates that aren't. And it's like, well, why aren't you talking about your resume, what you've done up to this point? Forget your platform and your ideas, but what kind of quality of person are you and contributor have you done in your life up to this point? And I think that's important. And that's what I look for initially when I look at candidates.
Agreed.
And so I haven't seen a lot of that from some candidates. And so you know, that's where I start dwindling my choices mm-hmm. down is on a resume, get a couple of candidates and choose their platforms from there and listen to their platform or their ideas, and then make my choice. But thankfully for having a forum again this year, we'll be able to also see the candidates and hear them and then have questions posed to them that, you know, how good are they at thinking off the cuff and mm-hmm. be able to answer some questions and be able to see how they respond to them.
Yeah. We have reached out to all the candidates, and we have welcomed them on the air with us as we have done at WFHR for decades. So looking forward to them joining us and getting to know them a little bit more and talking with them. The 2024 election spring primary is February 20th. That's so weird for me. It's my birthday. So weird. It's such an interesting thing. Again, you can find out more at wirapids.org about this. Wards 1 through 10 will vote at the Centralia Center, and wards 11 through 27 will vote at the former East Junior High School Fieldhouse. Again, wirapids.org is where you can find out all this information.
Yep. And if you got any questions, call the clerk's office. She's very knowledgeable. Her, Jennifer, and Sue will be able to assist them on any voting. You know, we always hear all these things about clerks and stuff. And as a former clerk, you know, there isn't a single clerk that wants the election to be all messed up. You know, they want it to show up and everything goes smoothly. There's no questions. And so, you know, I can only speak for Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's a lot of checks and rechecks and behind the scenes that go on to make sure that I'm not voting Wisconsin Rapids and I go out to Grand Rapids and vote. And mm-hmm. it may not be caught that day, but it will be caught and you'll be prosecuted. And So I can only speak for Wisconsin, but, you know, our clerk's office does a really good job and they want to have a successful election.
It's important to keep that in mind, and it's important to note too. Appreciate that. I wanted to wrap up just talking a couple of little minor things with you. The planning of the River Otter exhibit at the Municipal Zoo. I know that's coming up and it's exciting. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, so Park and Rec has, you know, decided or has agreed to explore, you know, pursuing this as a possible exhibit. So staff right now is gathering numbers. They've got kind of a rough design. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if that's something that can come together, we've been fortunate enough. We received a very large bequeath from a family for doing new exhibits. So there's money there to do hopefully this exhibit. And I know they're reaching out on some grants, but it would be a year-round exhibit, which then, so during the winter, there could be a couple of days open where people can go and see the otter swim and stuff like that. But so they're in the plan. They've kind of got a plan, and now they're getting up some numbers. But if this come through, it'd be pretty phenomenal. I think it'd be great for our zoo, too.
Here's hoping.
Go along with the prairie dogs there.
Absolutely.
Be coming in the spring, and it'll be fun to watch.
We love our zoo. They open their doors again, visit the Municipal Zoo right here in Rapids, just a block or two away from mm-hmm. us right here. I encourage you to do that, and encourage you to find out more again about a number of the things that we've talked about with the mayor today. Shane, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, how can they reach you?
Yeah, the easiest is call my office, 715-421-8202, or you can email us at mayor@wisconsinrapids.org.
And again, encourage you to follow along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, like and subscribe to their Facebook and Instagram pages, find them on YouTube and subscribe to their page. You are not going to be disappointed. Appreciate you, Joe. Appreciate your team over there. And Mayor, always good to talk to you. Thanks,
Shane. Great seeing you too, James.
We'll talk again next month.
Definitely.
And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.